No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Barry Essentials. On today's show, we recap Hard Knocks episode 1 and much, much more. What's happening, Perez?
Man, A-Dub, hey, we back in the building. Lots to discuss on this show. And you're right, A-Dub, Hard Knocks episode 1. I still can't believe the Bears are on Hard Knocks, bro. This is crazy and it's dope at the same time.
This is epic, bro. I like what we're seeing here.
But listen, man, before we get there, man, we got a lot to unpack, man. I want to just start, man, by just going back to over the weekend with the Hall of Fame game. Now, we all know that the game was cut short due to weather and whatnot, but A-Dub, just got to get your thoughts on that, right? Going into this matchup, we knew that the starters weren't playing. But we saw that Caleb Williams was taking part in the warmups. He's getting out there, getting some passes out. Obviously, no starters. As we talked about, it was a chance for the role players to kind of get themselves out there a little bit.
Because you know how it is, bro, in practice. We hear a lot about what the main guys are doing, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, et cetera. So now all of a sudden we get a chance to see, hey, what else is out there? What else is on the rest of this roster here? Who's trying to make the roster? What can they do, man? So it's just good to see a lot of these players who are unknown get a chance to showcase their talents.
To that point, you're 100% right, man. Brett Rippon, Colin Johnson, those guys were the stars of the game. I mean, Colin Johnson put out some really good film. And then Brett Rippon, man, listen, we're going to get into it in a second. Because I want to ask you, do we have a QB2 quarterback dilemma coming here to Chicago? Just take with that for now. But just keep that in the back of your mind, A-Dub, and all this. But one of the things that I wanted to kick off with you real quick was, and that was a little bit of a pun there, the new kickoff rule, man. What was you thinking about that one? I think it's going to be a work in progress. But it was interesting.
It was interesting, Perez, but I do not like it. I don't,
uh-oh,
man.
Uh-oh.
I'm one of those guys, and I agree with seeing players like Devin Hester do their thing, man. The way the rules are now, you wait till the guy catch the ball and then go at him. I don't know, man. That's like, that don't seem right to me, man. It just seems like it's a unique rule, but I can't grasp that, bro, because to me, I'm so used to the old way, the very old way, before all these rules start come to play.
So I'm just going to say this, A-Dub. For me personally, I just think it was a small sample size. But I am hopeful that we see kickoff returns back in the league again, because to your point, and we're going to talk about it here in a second, our very own Devin Hester was inducted into the Hall of Fame, right? And this is the thing nowadays, you don't get the kickoff return. A player right. like Devin Hester wouldn't even matter in today's NFL. So I think with a rule like this, they're trying to bring that back to the game, but they're going to have to tweak it because you saw in the matchup, both teams got penalized for leaving too early. So that's one right. of those things that people still got to kind of get used to it.
Yeah, and it looks so rocky right now. Because you can tell players are not used to this way, man. They're like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to go, you know? But you're right. It's a lot of change that goes along with that. But at the end of the day, man, to see how the returner runs with it, seeing how the players go on top with him. It's like, it doesn't look exciting right now. That's what I will say.
But I'm telling you, man, for me personally, I know you on the other side, I'm excited for it, man. I want to see the kickoff return back. And the way that I look at it, and Devin Hester even said it during the broadcast, it's like a free running play, man. So in essence, you're giving whoever the returner is a shot to, hey, make a play, maybe make somebody miss, right? So I don't know, man. You never know, man, what this might do for the game. It may bring some excitement back into the kickoff of special teams realm.
I hope so, man, because that's a big part of the game, you know, special teams. And I would love to see these returners, man, do something epic like my boy Devin Hester was doing. But, man, Perez, so far, I ain't sold on it just yet.
All right, now let's go back to Brett Rippon, man, because that kid tore it up. He was out there shredding that defense. Now, I asked you a question about the QB2 debate. Now, is it too early? Because you know me, I'm always looking for some damn smoke now. And I know Tyson Bagent, you know, he's supposed to be like that guy, the unquestioned QB2. But when I left the Tyson out there, I was like, Tyson, he was all right. He was so-so. But you got a guy behind you, man, that shredded that damn defense with the Texans. And I know before I get too far ahead of myself, people are going to be like, well, Perez, that was like a second and third string defense. I don't give a fuck. That guy was lighting it up out there.
And what impressed me with him, really, is that, hey, he was getting rid of the ball very quickly.
Oh, yes, he was.
Precisely, you know what I mean? Making very good throws at that. I don't care who you're going against. It's the mindset, bro, the skill set. And I see a guy like him saying, hey, Tyson Bagent, don't get too comfortable, bro, because he was out there throwing darts, man. You're right. He was hitting Johnson on some nice plays. But in fact, his mobility looked good, too. You see how Brett was running, man? He looked good, bro, dodging plays and making extended plays and throwing good passes. I like that, bro. So that has nothing to do with who you're going against, man. To me, I thought that was more the IQ of the game.
And to the point that you made about him getting the ball out quick, that was the number one takeaway I had, man. And that's one of the things, too, with Caleb that I see. When I'm at these practices, man, Caleb gets that ball out quick. I know that was the big criticism of the guy before. I'm not going to be talking about him because people was coming at you, A-Dub, about you bringing up Justin's name on the show last time. I was like, give A-Dub a break. He ain't podcasting the most.
Hey, yeah, give me a break.
But when it comes to Brett, I think that he probably may not even make this ball club, right? But what he does do is he puts the pressure on Tyson Bagent, right? Tyson Bagent can't get too comfortable. He can't just think, I got this backup job sold up. No, 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 son. You got a kid nipping on your heels. And remember, Tyson, when you were that hungry kid that went and took what you wanted, right? So my thing is, hey, don't get too comfortable in these streets.
Because you and I saw Brett came out there and performed. He's looking for a job. He wants a job, man. He was saying, hey, if you ain't going to carry, you know, if you're willing to carry more than two quarterbacks, add me to the list, you know? And that's what's his mindset going into that game.
Colin Johnson as well. You know, the Bears, this roster is going to be really difficult for people to crack. I mean, there's so much talent, and we talk about it so much with the job that Ryan Poles did with this roster. It ain't going to be easy for guys to make this team. I mean, think about it like this. I want you guys to really think about this. Last year's first-string running back, Khalil Herbert, was a third-string running back in the Hall of Fame game. So let's just think about that for perspective on how deep this roster is now. You're going to have a lot more players that are probably game two that's going to be coming up right this weekend against the Bills. You will probably have some more guys on this team that are going to really show you some things. There's been guys during camp that have been impressive to me that I'm going to talk about here a little bit later on. My thing is, man, Ryan Poles has done a great job with this roster, A-Dub. And again, these veterans, man, do not be too comfortable, man. There's some young guns on this team, and they're ready and they're hungry.
And these young guns are going to push these vets, bro, to bring it every practice. They get a chance to play in the game every game, you know. So these guys got to perform, man. And you know Ryan Poles, Eberflus have said in the past, hey, we want to increase the competition on this team. Well, I will say this season, this offseason, looks like they have done that.
Dante Pettis, man, you can't be out there muffing punts, baby. Ain't doing that shit, bro. They brought you back here, man. You got to be sure-handed, bro. That's, again, these veterans, I'm trying to tell them, A-Dub. Come on, Dante.
Bro, you know what really upsets me about this with Dante Pettis? Dude, Devin Hester, Hall of Fame. Bro, you're embarrassing our punt returner, kickoff returner who's going to the Hall of Fame. You cannot do Devin Hester like that, man. Come on, man. Come on, Pettis. You got to be better than that, brother.
Again, he got three more games to get the shit right, man. But, bruh, I was like, all right, I didn't like that. Another thing I didn't like is the offensive line. Even though they were backups, I felt like they were a little bit out of sync. We saw a lot of false starts, A-Dub. Doug Kramer, former line, I had a false start, and Matt Pryor as well. So those are things that we're going to have to clean up, you know, because, again, those are things that in practice you're supposed to be cleaning up, right, the reps. I don't like seeing the multiple false starts. So that was another thing that just kind of – I would say audience probably listening to me like, man, Perez over here nitpicking the preseason game. Listen, every chance that you're out there on that field, you're putting out film. Every play, every rep, that's showing your coaching staff or the other teams in the league, hey, this is what I'm bringing to the table. So you always want to put that best foot forward, you know what I mean? So like I said, every chance to be out there on the field is important, whether it's your current team or another team, right? So I just think that there's a lot of guys out here right now. Attention to detail is going to be your best friend going forward.
Especially if you want to make this roster, man. It's a lot that goes into that. And I think, to your point, bring your best, bring your A game, going out there, man, putting everything out there on that field and leaving it there. That's what you want to do. When you want the coaching staff to remember you, man, for doing something great. So it starts now. Matter of fact, it starts this entire offseason. So you got to go out there and perform, especially in these preseason games.
True that. Now, Kevin Warren also gave us a little stadium update. We got a little nugget there from him because the game was cut short during the rain delay. And he said, hey, listen, they are hoping to break ground on that new stadium by 2025, right? So now we're getting a little bit more insight. And that's exciting. I mean, I'm wondering how many years it's going to take for them to build that sucker. But all right, if we can break ground on it by 2025, AW, now we got some exciting – we got some stuff to look forward to out here in these streets.
Man, that's what we want to hear, Perez. That's exactly what we want to hear, man, because right now we've been hearing a lot about, hey, negotiations and all this stuff not going well. Come on, man. We got to land somewhere, bro. Get something going. So let's get to that next phase. And hearing that from Kevin Warren, that's a good – position to be in right now, and that's good to hear.
And we'll dig into that a little bit later on, audience, because I got my, you know what I'm saying, thoughts on that whole stadium thing, but we got so much to tackle on this show, so we'll get into that another time. A-Dub, Hall of Fame weekend, Devin Hester, Hall of Fame, Steve Mongo McMichael, Hall of Fame. And I would tell you one thing, man, watching that, I'm going to tell you two things that really made me emotional over the weekend. First thing was remembering Devin Hester running that kickoff back in the Super Bowl. I always share this story with your audience, but I was at that game. I lost my voice in 9 seconds. My voice was gone. Bro, I have never in my life felt the way that I felt. You know what I'm saying? Devin Hester, grown-ass man, made me feel like that, right? And seeing him at this stage, being in the Hall of Fame, bro, it was surreal. But it also made me feel old as shit, eh, dude?
But you hit something on the head, bro, when you talked about that kickoff that he got, that kickoff return that he got in the Super Bowl, bro. That was epic. I mean, you talk about giving the coach something to remember, bro, punching him right in the mouth. I'm like, wow, it stunned the whole building, bro. But you were there. So that was big ups from Devin Hester, man. But to your point, man, that seems like ages ago, bro, when that happened, man. And at the end of the day, I am very happy for Devin Hester, though, man. Well deserved. Well, you and I both know his past due. But hey, I'm glad he got in.
And another thing, too, man, it's just something that from the glory days of this franchise, like, I think about those old Bears teams with him and Peanut and Briggs and Urlacher, man, Tommy Harris, Cutler, if you have to, you know, bring him up there. Matt Forte. Like, bro, come on, man. Those were the glory days. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I miss those times, bro.
Man, that was a solid team all around, bro. I mean, offense and defense, man, And also special teams, too. So you add that to the mix. It's like it's the complete team, really, man. And you just enjoy watching that Chicago Bears team.
You sure did. Now, Mongo McMichael. Now, this is a good one from the childhood, bro. Man, Mongo, man, like, obviously seeing him and what ALS has done to him is tough. I try to just think of Mongo in the way that I remember him as a kid, just being gregarious. Always like being like the guy in the room that you knew he was in the fucking room.
He made sure of that, didn't he?
Yes, sir. And he wreaked havoc on the fucking football field, man. And brother, I definitely I shed some tears, man, when I saw that man in that moment get inducted, because you know that moment meant something to him. And yep. I guarantee you, A-Dub, if he hadn't gotten inducted into the Hall of Fame, he probably wouldn't still be fighting to be here. You know what I mean? And kudos to his wife, his former teammates, his friends, and the medical staff, the people that have been taking care of him over this time, man. A-Dub, it was just seeing him in that situation, man, it really just brought some emotions, man, because there's a lot of people. I'm going to get deep for a second, and I'm going to go back to sports, y'all. But there's a lot of people out here that take life for granted. And you look at a guy, look what this ALS has reduced him to. Yeah, just take advantage of your opportunities and just appreciate life, man, because none of this shit's promised. We don't know what tomorrow's going to have in store. Man, just live. Live for the moment. But, bro, that shit, man, it hit me, but it just made me feel good. It made me feel happy for him, man. I just love that he was able to be here for that moment.
Mm-hmm. Prez, I couldn't say what you just said any better than that, bro. And it touched my heart, you know, really, you know, happy for him to get into the Hall of Fame. But you're right, man. Health. People take it for granted, bro. I mean, that is one of the most important things you can have, you know. Forget the money. Forget all the other stuff, man. Your health, you know. And people who walk around healthy right now take it for granted, for sure. A lot of people do, you know. But, you know, Prez, someone like myself who actually had some health challenges in the past that you and I talked about offline, you know. And, right. Man, bro, I take that serious, you know. And I took it for granted at one point, you know. But I realized, man, even watching Mon go, like, man, how this guy been working so hard to see this point here, you know. And to your point, the medical staff helping him, his wife, support, all he's been getting, man, well-deserved. But, man, bro, it touched my heart. Those health situations, man, can really take its toll on you, you know. But I'm happy for Mongo, man, and I'm really proud of the fact that he got in. And I got to salute everybody that's been supporting him through this entire process.
Man, listen, audience, man. We, as a franchise, as a fan base, as content creators, as podcasters, as media, it's an honor, man, to cover this team. It's an honor to be fans of this team. It's just an honor to be connected to this team. I know we all go crazy over this team. When they fuck up, we go after them.
Yeah.
But, brother, this is an honor, man. Like I said, man, seeing this team on Hard Knocks, I feel like we were sharing our team with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's just something, brother, that just – this shit means something to all of us. I keep saying this over and over again. I said it on the last show, but this is a special franchise. And anybody that doesn't get that, then well, why are you here?
Right.
Every time I am at Hallis Hall, A-Dub, I have to take a moment and reflect. I pinch myself like, bro, I'm really here covering practice. I'm really here at Hallis Hall, like, as not a fan anymore. I mean, right. You remember the last couple of years when we was at Hallis Hall, bro? You know, we was there sitting with the fans and recording stuff, you know, and all this other stuff. Now I can't record anything. I'm over here taking notes and having to wait to get on the pod and share things. I'm like, this is different, A-Dub.
To that point, bro, it is a privilege, man, you know, to be able to cover the team like this, you know? And I'm glad that you've gotten that opportunity that you've gotten with it, you know, to be there front and center to cover it this way, man, because it's a different seat. It's a different light, you know? It's a different, you know, respect that goes into this, you know? And I like the fact that you've gotten this golden opportunity, man, to do something awesome.
Yeah, man. But listen, I'm not going to be satisfied with that until we both are in those rooms, right? But at the end of the day, man, we got to crawl before we walk around here. But so I'm going to do what we got to do. And with that being said, I got a practice update for y'all, right? So last episode, I gave you guys some of my standout performers. I didn't talk about Caleb Williams because I kind of figured, audience, you guys knew Caleb Williams was one of the standout performers. I mean, dude's been making some wild plays, right? And he's been doing what he had to do. So I just thought it was one of those things that was a no-brainer. So a couple people was like, well, Prez, what about Caleb? And I'm sitting here like, well, duh.
Hey, man, that's the heart right there. People want to know what he's doing, you know? I get it.
But what I will say is today's practice, the offense struggled. And one of my biggest takeaways so far is the offense has struggled, I think, for a variety of reasons. But it hasn't solely been a Caleb Williams issue. Because in my opinion, I think he's developing really nicely, A-Dub. Like, now this is like practice, what, number 7 now?
Right.
And the biggest thing that I mentioned in the last show is the chemistry that he has with these receivers. And it's not just the top three. It's Tyler Scott, he's having some really good chemistry with, right? So, you know, we're seeing that they're starting to gel in that aspect of things, right? And so, again, it shouldn't surprise anybody when I tell you he has a couple of those wild throws where you sit around and you look at people around you like, damn, did I just see him just fit that ball in that tight window like that? And he does it every practice, literally every practice. Now, is he going to make some mistakes? Sure. Right. Is he going to get picked off? Sure. Because he's testing things out right now. And that's really where you want him to do that. You want him to do that shit in practice.
That's where you learn at, for sure. And the fact that the Bears are giving him different looks out there on the field to help him grow, right? They're challenging this guy. That's what they're supposed to do, man. I mean, this is what you want to see happen. The guys show vulnerability and then show that, hey, I can overcome these challenges. That's what you want to see out of Caleb Williams. And that's what he's been doing, man, throughout these practices.
And I don't care if it's been single coverage, double coverage. We've seen a little bit of everything from him so far. And a big thing that I want people to realize, from week one to week two of these Bears training camp practices, you're seeing Caleb take that next step. You're seeing that development. And I don't want that to be lost, because think about it. Offensive line been banged up. I talked about Nate Davis. Motherfucker still missing practice. And I'm sorry, but Eberflus, you right on this one, man. His starting job should be in jeopardy. Keep Bates where he's at. Because right now, we can't trust you, bro. You can't stay healthy enough to practice. What the hell you think that you deserve to be the week one starter for, bro? No, I said it last week, A-Dub. I'm sick of this shit, bro. See, he got me over here dropping M-bombs. We don't have time for this, bro. We really don't.
You already know how I feel about Nate Davis, friends. I've came on here on several occasions and gave you my spiel on it. But I like where Eberflus is going when we talk about Ryan Bates, right? Because Ryan Bates is supposed to be competing for the center spot that you and I know that we talked a lot about already. But the fact is, he's having to spend a lot of time at right guard. So, what, you going to punish the guy for playing center, for not playing center, and punish for right guard as well? No, we can't do that to Ryan Bates. We got to do what's best for him, you know? The guy can go out there and shine and outperform Nate Davis, who haven't shown us anything at all. You got to say Ryan Bates got the lead in that guard spot right now. So, hey, I'm rooting for Ryan Bates at this point.
Now, that was our little chance to, like, you know what I'm saying, go off on Nate Davis for a second. Now, let's get into we're going to get into the analysis real quick. So, A-Dub, the thing about today's practice that I liked was they were in pads. And, you know, that's always an exciting day.
Right.
And we knew it was going to be what they term a thud day. Meaning you was going to hear some, you know, you was going to hear a little something.
Yes, sir.
You know the vibes, A-Dub.
Yep.
Now, on today's practice, it was some players that really, to me, stood out. First guy I want to talk to you guys about is Velus Jones. Now, he was somebody that I was kind of hoping that we were going to see a little bit in the Hall of Fame game. Didn't really see him out there. I don't even think he even dressed. But in practice today, man, they were using him at running back a little bit in addition to his role as wide receiver. Man, he looked good, A-Dub. He fucking looked good.
That's him sending the message to me, Prez. I want A-Dub to be quiet, because A-Dub was one of the ones who have been critical of him last season, right? And I know he's like, hey, look, this is my chance right now, man, to really show this team that I can do well, that I'm deserving of a roster spot. So you know how it is, Perez. It's either now or never for Velus. So if he's out there performing well, salute to him, man. I want him to keep it up. But definitely, if he slip up, man, you know what's next for him.
Listen, man, I think Eberflus was right. When he told the media that he think the Velus Jones could be a weapon there on offense, he's backing those words up by putting him in positions out there on the field where he can make plays. So,
yeah,
like I said, in today's practice, man, he was getting reps with the second and third team offenses with running back Roshan Johnson out, right? It allowed Velus Jones that opportunity to kind of step up. And like I said, he looked really good, man, bruh. There was one play, man, where he ran over Micah Baskerville. Now, y'all know, Baskerville was one of the players from last year's preseason that I was like, hey, I like this kid. I like what he stands for, all that good stuff. But brother, Velus, man, he ran that dude over for a big play in practice today. Woo. The fans, they were oohing on. That's what training camp is all about. That was type of moments, man. And Bears fans and media, we were treated to a good one today.
That's what I'm talking about, Velus. Earn your spot, man. Show us something. But that got to carry over in preseason and the regular season as well. Keep it going.
True that, sir. True that. DeAndre Swift, A-Dub. I thought he looked really good in practice today as well. And the thing that I was really curious about with him was, what are the other ways that they're going to utilize him, right? Yeah. Obviously, we know he's going to be a weapon running the football. But we saw, hey, in practice today, they were utilizing him out of the backfield a lot. So, obviously, it was, as I mentioned earlier, it was an overall rough day for the offense. But again, DeAndre Swift is a guy that has continued. Every time I've been out there, he's been a guy that's been impressive to me. He had a one-handed catch in practice today on a screen pass. And then the next play on 11-11, he had a nice little burst, got through the line of scrimmage really good. So we know that this guy has all the talent in the world, A-Dub, but that pass-catching dynamic, I was curious of how that was going to play out here. And so far, man, we're seeing the Bears and what they're trying to do on offense with the identity of what they're going to do with all these weapons. Man, dude, Caleb Williams has an embarrassment of riches, man. And like I said, DeAndre Swift is going to be really, really cool to see how they use him out of the backfield and obviously running the football this season.
I mean, I can see a lot of yards after the catch, man. They can run that football extremely well, but you get an opportunity to really see it live, bro, and up close, what he's been able to do and him perform extremely well in practice and showcasing all those talents, man. That's what you like to hear, man, because it lets you know that the Bears made up definitely a good investment in getting him, but definitely a good weapon for Caleb Williams that you just mentioned. So if you Caleb Williams, man, you got your wide receivers that you and I talked about, you got your tight end and your running back. Come on, man. 4,000 yards, 4,000 passing yards. Come on, man. Make it happen.
Now, obviously, I mentioned the offense had a rough day, which means the defense, obviously, for the most part, got the better of the offense. And what we saw on Caleb Williams shouldn't be surprised when your offensive line is battling injuries, right? Darnell Wright, he leaves practice early with an injury. We already know what we already said about Nate Davis. So, Caleb Williams is playing behind a makeshift offensive line, and the Bears' defense made the Bears' offense pay. There was constant pressure in Caleb Williams' face today. Constant pressure. Like I said, Caleb Williams was out there scrambling around. You know, I mean, like I said, it was tough sledding out there for him today. But again, you learn from those type of moments. DeMarcus Walker, on the pressure that he had, it would have been a sack in the game. Right. And he was out there talking shit. And this is the thing. That Bears defense was letting the Bears offense know what was going on today. That competition is ratcheting up around there, man.
You keep saying this, Prez. Iron sharpening iron, right? Hey, this defense is coming, bro. I mean, you and I talked a lot about what they did last season, of course. But just seeing DeMarcus Walker in this light here, bro, trash talking, out there getting sacks, bro, this is good, man, because I want to see more of that from DeMarcus Walker in this season. Like, look, man, make it known what you're trying to accomplish here, man. Force these guys in the O-line to, hey, block, put pressure on them, do what you got to do. But I love what I'm seeing for Walker, and it's good from your perspective to see that this defense, man, held their own very well and pretty much dominated practice.
Now, we'll say with DeMarcus Walker, man, I love his intensity, but sometimes he needs to tone it down, man, because on that play that I was talking about that he made, he fucking ripped his helmet off and slammed it to the turf and was like, yeah, y'all can't fuck with me or whatever, something along those lines. And then he drew a penalty. Obviously, you can't do that shit to Marcus. So,
right.
You know. But needless to say, man, the defense, they were fired up today.
Yeah, love the passion, bro. But you're right. Got to control that passion too, you know. But glad to see that these guys are getting after the quarterback, man, and applying some pressure. That's what you want to see from your defense anyhow.
Nate Davis, again, I just don't even know what else to say about this situation, bro. Keep missing practices. Keep missing practices. The injuries, soft tissue injuries, man. Like, what is he doing during the offseason? I really wish I understood. What is he doing? He needs to work out with Braxton Jones. Braxton Jones somehow seems to figure that shit out.
Like, right.
I don't get it, man. I really don't. But we need him on the fucking practice field. We need him available.
You definitely need him available, bro. I mean, you and I both know that our offensive line has been banged up for many years, right? And it's always something that happens with our O-line where we got to do this musical chair thing that you highlighted, bro, for a couple of years now. But at the end of the day, Nate Davis, the goal is to see you play right guard, man, and to see you perform at a high level at that. So right now, off to a bad start, it's like, man, next man up. And the good thing about next man up is that next man up been starting already. You know what I mean? So Ryan Bates, if he the guy, I got to salute to him because he's been available, bro. And that's what the most important thing, your availability. So Nate Davis, come on, man. You just disappointed me, bro, all over again.
And the thing is, like, we talked about, obviously, Darnell Wright exit in practice, which, again, you know, when you already have a line that's pretty beat up, you know, you can't have those type of things going on. And then Larry Borum replaced him, which, listen, I'm not going to shit on Larry Borum. You know, he was he was so-so. I mean, it's Larry Borum, right? I mean,
it is right.
What it is. You know,
Yeah, I feel bad for Larry Bird, bro, because I had high hopes for him when he first got.
Well, the thing about it is, it was fair to have those hopes, man, because he was solid. Like, the thing about it is, he was solid.
Right.
I just don't know what happened, man. You know, I guess what happens is when you upgrade the roster, you know, you realize, okay, it's levels. Okay, cool.
Right.
Andrew Billings, he also exited practice early A-Dub. He didn't return. So, you know, things that pop up in practice, you know, you're going to have guys, you know, coming and going. But, you know.
I just hope that all these guys, all these players are healthy for the season. So if they got to miss practice as a precautionary thing, Perez, I'm all for it, man. You know, I just want everybody to come into the season fully healthy.
See, and that's the thing, A-Dub, because when I was looking at my notes earlier, I was like, okay, so those three guys, all right, fine. They left practice early. But right. Then Montez Sweat, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Brisker, Roshan Johnson, Noah Sewell were all sidelined. And that's obviously in addition to Nate Davis. So, again, probably nothing to worry about with some of those names. Now, Kyler Gordon, I talked about him on the last show. Maybe that might be one that we might want to, you know, maybe be a little worried about. But the rest of those guys on the list, I think we should be okay.
But I do hope, man, it's nothing serious with Kyler Gordon, man, because I love watching him play when he's out there. So I just hope that, hey, it's all precautionary for him for sure, bro.
And Keenan Allen, I talked about him on the last episode, A-Dub. Man, he's been freaking getting it done every practice. But he had yet to get a catch on Jalen Johnson. And one thing about Keenan Allen, bro, he's always open. Every time I see him run around, I'm like, he's open. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's a testament to who he is as a receiver. But what I would say is he finally got Jalen Johnson today. And, again, that was a big deal. And he definitely let Jalen Johnson know what was up on that.
Ooh, weak, bro. Perez, Keenan Allen said at a previous media session that, hey, he has not gotten Jalen Johnson yet. He's like, forever, for whatever reason it has not worked out. But he said, the next practice, I'm going to get him. And look what happened, man. He got him, bro. So he meant what he said, bro. He wanted to get out there and show Jalen Johnson and compete against him. He had nothing but high things to say about Jalen Johnson in general. But he finally got a chance, man, to get one on him, man. So salute to Keenan Allen for calling it out.
Man, like I always say, iron sharpens iron, baby. But no, that's my training camp report, man. And before we get out of here, man, I want to get into Hard Knocks, man, because like I said, I was so excited about that last night. I was texting you, A-Dub, don't forget Hard Knocks is on tonight.
You made sure I tuned in, bro. Man, you was pumped up, bro. And I like that.
I was excited, man. I had some popcorn over here. Shit, I was chilling. I'm not drinking right now, audience. So I had a big ass thing of water. I was drinking water and had some popcorn, but I was enjoying that shit. So this is my thing, A-Dub. I didn't know what to expect because we've seen the Hard Knocks cameras all around. I've seen them kind of following the players around, and obviously they're getting access that the media don't get. So I'm kind of jealous of them. I'm like, damn, they're getting that exclusive shit.
They were.
I mean, you see how this started off. They was in there when Matty Mifflin and Poles made the call to Caleb Williams at the draft. I'm like, damn, that's fucking cold. And then, seeing that emotion, bro, hearing Matty Mifflin talk that good shit to him, right? Seeing Caleb taking that moment in, right? Going out there to the podium, being pumped up, man, doing the bear claw, bro. That shit got me fired up. And then, come on, man. They bring Caleb Williams out to the bullshit, bro. The Bulls anthem from the 90s? What we doing? What we doing, Hard Knocks? And me over here choking. I'm like, man, why is everything making me cry lately? I'm like, I'm over here choking up thinking about the good old days, ain't there?
Hey, you know I love that anthem, man. That Bulls anthem, man. That intro is dope, bro. We knew what time it was when that music came on, bro. And to see them do it with Caleb, I'm like, oh, man. Don't y'all play with me, Hard Knocks. Don't do this to me, man. I was all, man, pumped up off that, Perez.
But that was dope, man. That was dope. Like I said, that was a great, great start.
I think for me, Perez, just seeing how the whole makeup was, how they put it all together, I got to give Hard Knocks a lot of credit, you know, because they really highlighted a lot of good things about this Bears team, you know, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what's next in the next episode.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I thought they did a really good job because it kind of encompassed some of the things that the media have seen with these practices, right? Because in the montage, you saw the missed throws, you saw the bad reads from Caleb, you saw his frustrations.
Right.
Now, the other thing that we didn't get access to was his horrible ass singing. Now, listen, when that man said he was about to do that John Legend, I was like, okay, let's get it. He's gonna say, hey, this is a song that everybody know. And then he forgets the words to it, bro. I'm like,
hey, hey man, when the team started booing him, I was like, I started dying laughing, man. I said, my man froze up right there with his singing, man. He froze, bro. Hey, the spotlight was on him. Caleb did not answer the bell, bro.
He didn't. And Montez Sweat scoped the shit out of his ass, too, didn't he?
He sure did, man. That was so funny, man. And I'm looking at Caleb like, hey, man, you started off well, bro. Then all of a sudden, it went to a disaster.
That $25.5 million signing bonus, though, huh?
Woo! The way he called it out, bro. Hey, he put some respect on that, didn't he? He was like, hey, man. That money talk, boy, even the teammates like, hey, they start cheering for him, man. Hey, salute to you for getting your money, bro. So you can see right now, the team was all happy to see guys get paid.
Oh, listen, the same thing with DJ Moore that they highlight on here, man. Listen, that locker room, they ain't haters. They want everybody to get paid. You know, everybody's looking for their next day opportunity, right? We saw right. with Jalen Johnson when he got his extension. And Jalen Johnson out there, man, showing up on Hard Knocks with the what kind of car was that, A-Dub? Man, I don't know what the hell that was. That thing was nice, though.
Yeah, it was, man. It was a combination of a slingshot and something else, man. You know, something for the Jetsons or something. You know, I don't know what the heck you call that car, man. But I tell you, man, it was exclusive, strictly for Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, ain't too many people rocking that thing. But it was cool to see the backstory with the DJ Moore extension. Kind of hearing how Ryan Poles in the front office were talking about their thoughts of the deal, and they were patting themselves on the back like, yeah, we got a good deal. It was a good deal. I'm sitting up here like, man, anytime a team feels that they got a good deal, I'm like, yeah, the player got jumped. He could have got more out of him.
Yeah, man, you know that, Prez. You know, you can get more out there. Eberflus and Nick Saban had that conversation about the quarterback. Yes, I was like, man, Nick Saban out here dropping gems, bro. I'm like, what the heck, you know? He's talking about, hey, what he had to do with his quarterback, you know what I mean, to make him happy and understand what his role is on this team, you know, being a leader, being positive, all those attributes, man, that make a great, strong leader, man, that lead the team. And I'm like, and I like that relationship that he actually had with Eberflus, man. So seeing those two chop it up about football like that in depth, I love that, bro.
To your point, I didn't even know that Eberflus, he even knew Saban, right? I didn't even know that he played for Saban at Toledo. So when they showed the clips of Eberflus out there running around with the big-ass shoulder pads on.
Right.
But I didn't realize that he played for him, right? So that relationship goes back, you know, a long time. Saban, bro, like, he's like, just like one of those people that you see in the room, and he's going to command the attention of everybody in that room, especially when football's being involved. And like I said, in that moment, I was like, wow. And to your point, he did drop some gems about how you work with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. And I mean, he was like talking about, hey, the vision, you know, hey, you want to know what the quarterback sees out there, right? You want to hear what they got to say. And it was more like a good relationship, man, that you're building there. So I got to give Nick Saban a lot of credit for that.
Obviously, there was a lot of stars in the episode, right? So you talked about Saban, who I thought was cool. Hey, Eberflus's wife, man, she's the reason why our boy Eberflus grew the beard, right? So we got the backstory on that thing. We even saw him get cleaned up in the episode. I was like, I see you, Flus.
Yeah, man. My boy Flus over there looking good, bro. The nice haircut. He says wife love it. So, hey, look, he going to rock it, bro. I can't hate on that at all, man. The wife, happy wife, man, happy life, I guess, right?
Man, my mom, so she texted me. She was like, Caleb needs to go to that bar, bro. I was like, mom, stop.
Hey, bro. Moms did not lie, man. Hey, Caleb, man. Hey, go get groomed up, bro. Hey,
hey, real. Oh, look, they got the barber in Hell's Hall. Go holler. I bet he can do something with you. I bet
he could, man. I know he can, man. Because, you know, these barbers out here, man, they are dope, bro. Some of them. I ain't going to say all of them now. But some of these barbers out here know what they doing. Go get a trim, though. Let somebody hook up your nice fro, man. Let them do something with
it. But he's obviously was a star this episode. Obviously, the John Legend thing, the $25.5 million signing bonus piece, but also seeing that pretty much every chance Hard Knocks got, they chronicled him. And I thought that was like really important. That sets the stage for probably what this whole series is going to look like. DJ Moore. Now, I'll tell you one thing about DJ Moore from my interpretation of him. He's always come across as a very introverted, introspective, very quiet, yet respectful type of cat. But one thing about him, man, you can tell he's got the total respect of his teammates.
He does.
When I've heard Tyson Bagent talking about him, man, he talks about how he's a not only just a great football player, but a great man, right? He's a great family man. See, again, what do we always say, A-Dub? It's not just all about what the person does on the field, even though those are the things that count, I guess, as far as wins and losses. But we got a guy like that. Everybody's like, no, we respect this guy for how he moves. And we talked about it on the show. He gets his contract. What he over here? He's not even focused on that as much. He's like, hey, now it's time to get Keenan done. Keenan, what's your number? How much you trying to get? Let's see if we can get something done. That's the kind of guy he is.
He is, man, the ultimate team player. And that's what you like more about DJ Moore, man. This guy you want to have on your team. You like what he's able to do, of course, when he's catching the football. But you're right, Press. The other attributes, man, what stand out with you are how you are with your team and how they see you, how they view you. And to that point, bro, they have a lot of respect for that man. And I like what I see. And the thing is, man, DJ Moore is low-key funny too, bro. He really is, man. I'm not going to lie to you. The way he operated with the camera, giving the thumbs up and everything. He's low-key, man. But he know how to get his jokes out there too, man. So I like hearing from DJ Moore. He's always going to give me a good laugh anyway.
Another funny part about that one to me was, or another cool part about that was when Pose called down there, was like, hey, can you send DJ up? That is during practice.
Right.
So DJ go up there while practice is going on, signs the contract, and it goes back to practice like nothing happened.
Right.
I'm still over here like, man, somebody give me $1,000. You AW, when I come back, you'll be like, man, bro, I just got $1,000, dude. You
know? Right. All happy and everything, man. Let it be known, bro. He was so low key with it. Even when he signed the contract, what'd he do? He go up there and sign it all smoothly. All right, man, good doing business with you guys, right? And just walked on out.
Yep.
Like, man, this guy, DJ Moore, act like it was nothing, bro. Like, hey, it ain't no big deal, man. It's done, it's done. It's time to move on, you know, to other things. But you're right. He was so low-key with it, bro. Got to get that man his respect.
What'd he say, man? One less thing to worry about, but he said he was still going to work hard? Shoot, nobody's going to dispute that. We know how you roll, man.
Man, that's what you call being committed, bro, to your craft and to the sport.
Now, we talked about on the show last week when Jonathan Owens was given permission to head to Paris to be there with his wife, Simone Biles, and while she went over there and dominated.
Right.
But then seeing the whole process of him packing and, you know, Simone being the wife is over here telling him how he needs to pack this and prepare this. That was kind of funny. I'm like, she over here trying to work and do her thing, and she over here telling him what he needs to do to get on the damn flight.
Right.
But it was just cool seeing them chronicle that moment. I know a lot of people felt like it was too much of the Olympics part, but I'm like, come on, man, what you mean it's too much of the Olympics part? This man's wife won gold for this country. Like, that shit was amazing to me. So showing that part, I thought it was really cool. And then seeing, too, how Eberflus was like, all right, so you're going to be going these days, but you're going to be back here. He's like, all right, make sure you get your iPad and your laptop. He said, we're going to send you the installs. Hey, business as usual. You just ain't going to be here.
Right. So that man packed right way, Perez, threw his football in there as well, man. Hey, look, Jonathan Owens is still locked in, bro, to what was going on with the Chicago Bears, even though he was going on the trip to be with his wife, man. That's what's up. So he still had football in his heart at the same time, man. So you're right. Eberflus, you know, put him in a good situation. And I'm glad he got the opportunity to do it, you know. That's something that you don't take back. You know what I mean? You can't get that time back, you know, of seeing your wife do something like that you talked about on our last episode, Perez. So salute to Jonathan Owens, man. And salute to Eberflus, man, for how he handled it.
Yes, sir. Now, before we get out of here, the best moment of Hard Knocks, all of y'all know, our boy Theo Benedict, the rookie, steals the show, A-Dub. With his rendition of God Bless the USA.
Oh, man. They even gave the man a new nickname, man. The Canadian Eagle, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, that was so hilarious, bro. When that man stripped down to his underwear, I was like, oh, my God. I did not see that coming, bro, at all. He shocked me with that. I said, what is going on up here, man? So he's going to be remembered for sure by the Chicago Bears.
All right, not just the Chicago Bears. That's going to be memorable. I think that's going to go down in Hard Knocks, like, history. Like, that moment right there is probably going to be up there with some of the memorable moments from Hard Knocks. I didn't know where that thing was going. And, oh, that was so funny, A-Dub. So funny.
It really was. That's how you shocked the world right there for sure.
But again, man, that's football, though. It's a tough sport because we see in the game, he ended up getting hurt. Yeah. That's it, with a grade 2 hamstring strain. So I think his preseason is pretty much over. So his impact on Hard Knocks and the Chicago Bears has been that rendition of love. God bless the USA.
And I hope that he don't want that to be the last of him, man. But it does suck. But to see how the guy got hurt, man, that's got to be tough to deal with.
You know, like we always say, man, injuries, they're a part of the game, unfortunately, man. But I would sell you, bruh, Theo Benedict, man, that was probably the funniest and most shocking thing in that episode. But funny as hell. Like, literally, I was laughing so hard, bro. So hard.
Hey, man, imagine eating cereal, bro, and have to spit some of that out, man. Oh, no. He caught me off guard, bro. I'm like, man, what you doing, dude? What are you doing, man? He caught me off guard, bro. I'm not lying to you, man, because I was already thinking about his singing. I'm like, you know, his singing, you know, it ain't all that, right? And then he do what he did. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude, take the wheel, man. Take the wheel, bro.
Oh, that's too funny, A-Dub. But, man, listen, all this jam-packed show, like we mentioned, but this show right here, man, this was a fun one, man, because, like, we had just so much good things to talk about, man. Like I said, Hall of Fame, the development of this team, the development of our quarterback. When you talk about guys like DJ Moore, Jonathan Owens, just good family men that, yeah, football is important, but, you know, you know that, like, there's other things that are important to them as well. So, man, this episode was fun. A-Dub, we're going to get back on here next week. We'll recap the Buffalo Bills game, man. But audience, man, it's always a pleasure getting back on here with you guys. Man, we love being on here doing this show for y'all. It's so good to be back. But until next time, we out.